good to see a good group out tonight, considering the weather and the roads. We're going to be beginning into theology proper, and we will be, and Tim, notice how I say this, pitching our tents in theology, inside joke, thought you guys want to hear, theology proper, which is an intimate study of the nature and character of God, and we will be here for a while. And we're going to start at the very beginning, which, by the way, I find extremely interesting. So why don't we open with a very, very brief word of prayer. Hope you have your worksheets. Bring them with you as we will be building off of the introduction to our theology, systematic theology, called General Revelation. But let's ask God's blessing. Lord, the depths that we are about to dive in are too deep for our abilities, because we are finite and you are infinite. We could not possibly hold our breath to touch the depths of your character. So we ask that your Holy Spirit give us just a glimpse. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We who are here tonight have an unprecedented privilege of not only knowing that there is a God and that His Son is Jesus Christ, and we have a deposit called the Holy Spirit that comes in and guides us and helps us, similar to the relationship that we ought to have with one another. We talked about that this morning. Not only that there is a God, but to sit and learn about Him in a meaningful way. It is an extreme privilege that I hope and I encourage you to soak in, and don't take it lightly. Because there are those who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ and yet are without excuse. Wow! How privileged are we to learn from His Word. Tonight we'll begin our study on the nature and character of God. And in doing so, we have to kind of set our foundation for our study first. Because God is greater than any study we could possibly have. And though He has revealed Himself, it does not mean that we will ever fully understand Him in His wholeness. You see, when we engage in the study of God, it is greater than we can possibly imagine. And when we do so, we are just scratching the surface of one rock on one mountain, on one mountain range, on one moon, on one planet, on one star, around one solar system. You get the point. God is greater than we could ever imagine. And you cannot exhaust the study of God. So for us to somehow engage this for several months is almost a pebble on all the beaches that the universe has or had. And then some. Let me give you a sense of how great our God is. The Bible tells us that God exists in three eternal, simultaneous persons, yet are one in essence and nature. Right there, we're done. It's beyond our comprehension. The Bible tells us that we will spend eternity in heaven. Grab this. Eternity in heaven. Aim, where are you, babes? When I say I don't know where the keys are, they're right there. All right. Was that off subject at all? Let me give you a sense of how great God is. The Bible tells us that we will spend eternity in heaven learning about God, but we will never ever exhaust Him for eternity. Let that sink in. We will never cease to learn something about God throughout all of eternity. This is the greatness. This is the magnitude of God. He is infinite in all ways. Never to be exhausted. Is it any wonder why the Bible says the fear of God, the awestruck wonder of Him, is the beginning of Sophia. The beginning of what? Wisdom. When we begin to see what we are and who God is, does it not compel us to seek wisdom? But before we move forward, we must establish some definition of terms that we will be working off from as we move forward. And the first term that we will be looking at is this. Those who believe in the existence of God are called theists. Now, it could be true God, it could be a false God, it could be Taoism, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity. Theists believe in a God. More specifically, we are considered Christian theists, obviously.
Christian theism is the belief of the one true God who has revealed himself to mankind, who exists in three simultaneous persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one. But before you can claim the existence of God or effectively engage in a discussion with someone who is agnostic or atheistic or pantheistic in nature, one must start with an intellectual starting point, and that starting point is general revelation. You cannot walk up to someone and say the Bible's true. Why? Because the Bible says so. It's faulty reasoning, all right? It's circular reason. It's NASCAR reasoning. Sorry, Ozzy, I had to say it, all right? It's just going around and around in a professional left-hand turn. Sorry, boss. That's why I hesitated, because you're my friend. You see, it is with general revelation that we have the starting point of knowing God. How do we know God exists? How can you fully know God? Through the evidence that is required. We cannot know God fully through the evidence that is required by the scientific method demanded by our world. 1 Corinthians 2:9 talks about that. He has, however, left us with sufficient evidence in general revelation. General revelation, as defined within our terms this evening, is the universe and all that has been created physically surrounds us today and within us today. We've got to remember our conscience, our being, our makeup, our genetics is the very fingerprint of God in our lives. The trees, the mountains, the oceans, it provides enough evidence that a God exists. It doesn't tell us that Jesus Christ exists. It tells us that a God exists and it must be sought out. And it is so sufficient and so great that Romans tells us that man is without excuse. Not a single man exists in the world today that is not compelled to seek the image maker. Because he has made us in his image. So what is this evidence that God has literally thrown all around us that demands pursuit of him and leaves us without excuse? If it leaves us without excuse, it must be amazingly sufficient. And it is. So let's begin by looking at, within the context of general revelation, as we walk through systematic theology, where we find the existence of God within general revelation. And we're going to start with you. We're going to start with me. We're going to start with those who were created a little lower than the angels, man in his image. Number one, man's innate awareness of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Let me define this a little bit further. Being made in his image, man universally has an innate awareness of a creator's existence. Now, it can be suppressed, it can be denied, but that is the starting point of man. This does not mean that man necessarily knows who God is, but that a God must exist. Example, have you ever asked the question, why are there so many different religions? Why is there so many different cults? Why is there Buddhism, Taoism, Islam, Hinduism, Christianity, and Jehovah's Witness, and all the umbrellas that there are, all the way down to paganism and all of these pantheistic religions that are just greater than we could possibly list? The list could go on forever and ever and ever and ever. Within reason, you understand. Why is there a tribe that has never seen anyone from the outside world worshiping a man-made idol or a god that they do not know? Why is it that man is compelled to create a god he has never met? Why is it when you go into the last tribes of Brazil that has never seen modern society and has never been touched by the outside world, why is there a God in their culture? And that question that philosophy and science cannot answer is answered within the Word of God. And it is this: being made in God's image, man universally has an innate awareness of his Creator's existence. Here it is. Even though they may be as wrong as peach pie. I don't know what that means, all right? Sounded good, though. Even though they've never heard of God or Jesus, the image seeks the image maker. It is within our workings. Do you know what this means? How amazing of evidence of that God exists? It means that all mankind, apart from all scientific reason, all sense of perception, have an immediate, non-rational, built-in knowledge that a God exists. Do you want to know why? Because God put it there. It says this, because that which is known about God was put within man. We find that in Romans 1:19. It's within us. We just are naturally compelled. So when you see all these thousands of variants of religions and cults, it is not proof that there is no God, but that built within man is an awareness that God exists, even if that man must create God out of a stick, even if that man must carve him out of a stone, it is built within him and he must find God. Even atheists must first recognize this awareness in order to deny it. You cannot deny something you are not aware of. General revelation is proof of this, in man's innate awareness. It's found within him, his desire to seek out God. That's why there are so many religions, so many cults, so many pseudo-faiths, that even though they don't know the truth, there's something built within man to seek out its image maker. Another revelation proof, general revelation proof, is found in man's senses. Now, this is kind of interesting because the world will say that science and facts are what they follow to an answer. It's called logical reasoning. Yet, in order to deny God, you must suspend logical reason. And we'll talk about that within general revelation, because isn't that the proof we're talking about that leaves man without excuse? This has to be substantial proof, because there are going to be masses and masses and masses who stand before a holy God. And God's going to be able to look at them and say, you were given everything you needed, sufficient to cause you to seek me out. The things of God are not only bear witness in the existence of man's senses and awareness, we just talked about that, but also his reason. Let me define that, if you will. Man's reason. God cannot be explained away if the process of logical thinking is maintained. This is always fun, and I don't want to digress here. One cannot deny the existence of a creator without suspending the process of logical thinking or reasoning. Don't get me wrong, most of what we believe in detail about God revealed within a special revelation is received by faith. I concede this willingly and with excitement. But we're not talking about special revelation. We're not talking about childlike faith right now. We're talking about how God has revealed him through the very foundational revelation, which is general revelation, everything that there is outside of man and inside of man. Man cannot deny that there is a creator without suspending reason. These are the people, and by the way, in the world that claim science and reason as their God, but in order to deny it, must suspend logic and reason to deny God. What a contradiction in terms and authenticity. So let's take a look at logical reasoning for the existence of God within general revelation. Number one is that fancy word, cosmological argument. The cosmological argument asserts that everything has a cause. Everything has a cause. Don't fade out on this. This is important. You are here today because your mom and dad learned the facts of life. Everything has a cause. Your car started today because you turned a key and the battery created a spark that lit a mist of gas captured within a man-made cylinder, creating a controlled explosion. And before that, it came from the car plant. Before that, it came from the dye shop. Before that, before that, before that. Everything has a cause. None of us arrived here in our Wonder Woman invisible jet tonight. At least I can't prove that. Everything has a cause. Now, I don't want to digress here too far, yet those who deny God say this world exists with no cause. Well, what happened to logical reasoning? What happened to the cosmological argument? It just happened. There was a big bang. Again, I'm not going to go into that too far. Where did the material come from? How did it explode? How long was it there? Was it infinite? Was it created? Oh, it just always was. There's no cause. There's no beginning. Well, that makes no reasonable sense, because the cosmological argument within general revelation tells us that everything has a cause, including the last breath you just exhaled. Everything. Yet it is suspended. Yet it is ignored to deny the existence of a creator, which is not logical reasoning. Listen, everything that makes up the universe is a result of a cause sufficient to produce it. Sufficient to produce it. A product points towards a producer.
We are here, therefore something has caused it. Something. Something. You don't even have to say it's Jehovah. Something caused us to be. However, the Bible does give us that answer within special revelation. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4 says, every house is built by someone. God is the builder of everything. Again, it is within special revelation that all of man's greatest questions are answered and revealed. This is the cosmological argument. And for a theist, the cause is God. Genesis 1:1, Psalms 90, verse 2. And for a Christian, the cause is the Trinity. Because the Trinity was there upon creation. Everything has a cause. Yet those who deny a creator say that there is no cause. That's unrealistic. It's a suspension of logical reasoning. Here's another one. The teleological argument. The teleological argument points to intelligent cause for our universe. Let me explain this just a little bit further. This argues from design, order, and purpose that is seen in the universe. Since the universe and its living organisms exhibit intelligence, it points to an intelligent creator. You do not get order from chaos. Never, ever, ever, ever does intelligence come from non-rational, non-purposeful, and I use those words, intelligent points to an intelligent creator's. I want you to think about something. I'm going to show you a video here for a moment, which is astounding. Mike's going to prep it. And I just want you to watch this. It's 2 minutes long. And then as you're watching this, I want you to ask yourself, do I see intelligence? Do I see order? And do I see purpose? Because none of these things, that is no cause, disorder, and non-personal forces, can produce order, purpose, and design. What do you see for the next 2 minutes?
And perhaps none is bolder than this little rat. This gigantic grouper is many thousands of times her size and an aggressive territorial predator with one of the largest mouths on the reef. But she's not deterred from approaching. What she's about to do seems almost suicidal. She's feeding on tiny blood-sucking parasites, which is why the grouper allows this. Nevertheless, the wrasse has to regularly vibrate her fins against the inside of his mouth, just to remind him not to swallow. A single wrasse can eat an incredible 1,200 parasites a day. And she's not fussy where she finds them. Without this decontamination, the grouper would quickly become infested. This service is so valuable that the grouper is a regular client, visiting several times a day. But even he has his limits.
The teleological argument points to design, order, and purpose. Some people will say that what you just saw is a product of natural selection, survival of the fittest, Darwinianism. If that were true, that little fish would die as an appetizer. What you see here are two fish working in concert together, mutually benefiting from a decision, exhibiting an intelligence, an order, and a purpose. Now I want you to grab those words. Is there not order and purpose in what you just saw? And this is happening
millions of times over through different species, trillions of times a day. And that's just in one particular area. And if it ceased to happen on a global scale, life would cease to exist. In a matter of days, the grouper, was that what it was, a grouper? Would have so much bacteria on it, blood-sucking bacteria, that it would die. This is a question our skeptical friends must answer. And here it is. How can impersonal chance forces produce a product that exhibits intelligence, order, purpose, and design? Everyone knows, and it has been proven out by science, proven out, that chaos never produces order. Ever. 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 Intellectual qualities can only be the product of purpose and design. Yet the scientific law must be suspended in order to not deny a creator. Again, we are not talking about Jesus. We're not talking about Jehovah, Jireh. We're not talking about Yahweh. We're just arguing towards intelligent design. Intelligence cannot come from impersonal forces. Intellectual qualities are the product of purposeful design. A theist is more, and more specifically, a Christian theist, the teleological argument points to the conclusion that the universe possesses sufficient intelligence and therefore must have an intelligent design. And this intelligent design, this intelligent cause, is God. Psalms 19:1, 139, 13 through 17. Is it any wonder why David cried out under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the accident of His hands." The what of His hands? The work. There's design. There's order. And there's intelligence. Therefore, it is not the product of impersonal forces and chaos. Do you see how Christianity provides more reasonable answers than what this world can offer through general revelation? Our last one this evening is the anthropological argument. And this points to a personal cause. Everything has a cause, sufficient. This points towards a personal cause within general revelation. This argues that man's having self-awareness. I think, therefore I am. And not only that, but a moral self-determination points to a personal creator who has these qualities. Your personhood points to a personhood by design. Why is it that we are rational beings? Why is there a moral compass built within us, even to those who deny the existence of God? I have a neighbor who does not believe in God. I professed atheists. That says that, I got to tell you, is a really nice guy. Is very helpful. Just a wonderful neighbor to have. Why is it that he has a moral compass built within him? Why does man, excluding the exception, because no argument can stand on the exception, there are those who will suppress a moral compass. But why is man as a whole, why does he have a sense of right and wrong? And even when they choose wrong, why do they seek to hide their deeds and go to darkness? Why is it in a culture that has never heard of the Ten Commandments still think that you should leave a man's woman alone and a woman should leave another woman's man alone? Why is it in a culture that has never seen the Ten Commandments they think you probably shouldn't take my stuff without asking and that cold-blooded murder is not acceptable even within a culture that has never heard of the commands of God? Why do the untouched tribes of Brazil that have never seen modern society still organize themselves with rules and roles and chiefs and queens and all of this stuff with rules? Why does man have a personhood in a community and desires rules and roles within his culture? The Christian would assert that because we come from a God of personhood.
bearing His image, who Himself resides within a community of roles Himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all equal to one another. Yet it is the Holy Spirit who does the work of the Son, and the Son who obeys His Father. I am here to do my Father's will. We have within ourselves, especially as believers, but what we have is a Creator that has a community in and of Himself with roles, and that likeness is impressed upon the image of man. And even though we do not know Him, it is within our nature to seek Him out. It is within our nature to see design and order, and therefore a product must have a producer. And even more than that, let's organize ourselves. Let's have roles and rules. Why? Because our Creator is that. Amen. Why do let's move forward. Opponents of the Bible believe that man's makeup is a product of chance, evolutionary development, and that his idea of God is a projection of his personality into infinity. However, we assert with greater reasoning that science has yet to demonstrate that chance, chaos, and impersonal force can create personal, intelligent, organized products. Don't let people tell you from the intellectual community that they follow the facts to the answers. The facts point to a Creator. The teleological, cosmological, and anthropological arguments all scream to the existence of intelligent design and the existence of a God. Yet these points of reason that fall within the rules of science are thrown out the window because the world is not interested in the facts that lead to the answer. They are interested in their answer regardless of what the facts say or what the Word of God proclaims. Romans 1:18 and 19 says, "Men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which was known about God is evident where, my friends? Evidence where? Within them." Within a teleological, cosmological, and anthropological point of view that falls within the rules of science, it is built within man that there is a God, and it is evident to everyone. Even the tribes and the people that have never heard anything will at least whittle a stick and worship it. Where does it come from? There wasn't a worldwide memo that went out saying worship something. It's within us. My friends, general revelation reveals God to the point that man is without excuse. He must seek God. And I want you to hear this. While these arguments do not compel belief, they don't compel belief. It can be suppressed. It can be denied. They give a rational explanation as to why you believe in God. Because the problem is not man's ignorance of the Creator's existence, for that is all around us. And it is within us. The problem is our unwillingness to accept these facts, because we're not interested in facts that lead to an answer as mankind, sinful mankind. We are interested in an answer regardless of what the facts lead to. Scripture tells us, this is the judgment. This is in John 3:18-19, 20. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds may be exposed. And you, my friends, are blessed beyond measure. For not only have you found the true God, but you now sit in a climate-controlled room, which is warm, a climate-controlled room, learning of His nature. And you will never, ever stop learning of His nature and His character and His personhood throughout eternity. Are we not blessed among the nations? Wow! Prioritize this time. For there is no greater way to spend your time than knowing your Creator, that has not only revealed Himself out there, but has revealed Himself in here, and it cannot be denied. It can be suppressed, but it cannot be denied. Know these arguments.
so that you might defend your faith and God from an intellectual starting point. Because remember we started, you can't say, hey, the Bible's true because the Bible says so. Let's back up one slide. The Bible's true because the evidence built within man is overwhelming. And you have to suspend rational, reasonable thought to deny him. You see, use general revelation to build a bridge to special revelation, which is the Word of God. Next week, we're going to move into the nature of God, and it's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow my mind. But the God who has revealed himself in us has stamped his image in us in a teleological, cosmological, and anthropological way, has revealed to us what he thinks we need to know. And in this thin line book, these three simultaneously existing persons, yet are one in essence, are going to blow your mind. You see, it is the awestruck wonder of your God that will help you put one foot in front of another when it comes to being wise. Prioritize this time. It's knowing your God, by the way, and Bob Schaefer and I would agree with this because we don't agree on anything else. Just teasing boss. It's knowing your God. Remember that passage in Thessalonians? Loving and trusting your God. That is the key to overcoming temptation and sin in our lives. So, sometimes I feel like a little bit of a doomsday speaker because I always say, this is why the church isn't strong, and this is why the church isn't strong, and this is why Brett's not strong. Listen, we cannot be strong if we do not know our God. Amen? Got to know him. Young people, do not graduate from these walls wondering what you believe. Seek it. It's around you. It's in you. It's being taught to you. Consume it. It's the beginning of wisdom. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing yourself within us to the point that we are without excuse. May we seek you. May we grow in you. And Lord, may we as a body understand that our growth is, again, is not dependent on our strategies, but on our obedience to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Love you guys.